The MCG is in sight now. This massive stadium that has hosted so many famous sporting events.
It's on its way from Barmer through. A few little how-do-you-dos. It's not a tea party out there, but there's no need to make it like Stadium Hall, fellas, so keep it cool.
The pain is temporary, but glory lasts forever.
Barmer's there, it is. Beautiful. Beautiful, Neil Barmer.
Because this is something to savour. Something to remember for the rest of your life.
On Hungry for Sport, Friday Sports Chat with Dave Colbert and Neil Barr.
Oh, it's always great to catch up with the Collingwood saviour. G'day, Neil.
Well, he's not coming today, only me.
Helped Collingwood out last week against the Cats. G'day, DC.
Wasn't that
Hello.
Helpful at all?
Well, I told you last week that there was a big worry about Collingwood, and the travel was due to get to them at some stage, and that long journey from Westpac Centre to the MCG caught up with them.
We have to go by bus. That's why it takes so long.
What about that? Yeah, the coach now, you can't leave
you
the
You can't
ground.
Walk home.
No, you can't. You've got to go
by
bus.
The bus.
Or car.
So when a visiting team comes to Melbourne and they're playing at the MCG and they're staying at the Hilton on Wellington Parade and the game finishes and you've finished all your duties and you just think, I want to clear my head. I'm just going to walk this 400 metres up the hill. You've got to get in the bus.
Correct.
You've got to wait for Brunton Avenue to be cleared.
Yep.
So that's about 3 a.m. in the morning. Then you've got to turn left into Hoddle Street, Punt Road. So that's car park. And then you probably can't turn left into Wellington Street.
No, you
because
can't
they're
do
trying.
That.
So you've got to keep on going
down.
You've
got to go down Bridge Road.
And then turn left down Lennox.
Correct.
And then you get back to... So it takes you an hour and a half.
To Johnston Street.
Right. Well, that's always a nightmare.
Then you come back up Punt Road.
Maybe Nicholson.
And then you do a right-hand turn.
Right. So that's going to take you 2 hours. So you get back to the hotel. And, of course, they clear a path. I presume they'll have security all the way to the lift. You'll have a separate lift that just has coach only. Upstairs to your room, there'll be another security on the floor. Maybe they'll clear out the floor, presidential style, for the coach, so that only the coach is on that floor. And then they'll go to the room. If the coach, let's say Ken Hinckley,
yes,
decides after getting up, he presumably only has room service because he's not allowed to go to the restaurant because there might be other people in the restaurant. He decides that he wants to go for a walk. And Alexandra Gardens is magnificent. It's just what's it called? The Flagstaff Gardens.
Flagstaff.
Right
no,
there.
No, Fitzroy Gardens.
It's beautiful. He wants to have a little walk, clear his head. Does he have to catch the bus? Is the bus drive around the gardens and he walks up and down the aisle?
You think it's an overkill?
It's ridiculous.
I've always pictured Kenny as a bit like Johnny Howard when he was in that little tracksuit going for the walk with half a dozen blokes to check. I reckon Kenny would like that.
He was the captain of the Australian walking team, John Howard. How?
He was lifting. I saw him lifting there a couple of times.
Particularly when he got pace up downhill just outside Kirribilli House. What a ridiculous thing, KB.
Well, they're concerned that, obviously they had that altercation with Alistair Clarkson over in Adelaide.
It could happen anywhere, KB.
Two coaches at the moment being investigated by interstate police, which is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, that is extraordinary.
What happens, Neil, just with that, with... we don't know the story with Brad Scott, but obviously something's happened. Well, there's allegations something happened. We haven't heard the story yet from Brad with a security guard. What happens with the coaches when they're coming down and going onto the ground and coming back to the boxes? How many guards or security people are supposed to be with them at all times?
I think there's always at least a couple, and they make the way and cover the back, I suppose, which is, I think they do a pretty good job of it generally, but I'm not sure what's happened in Hobart. But.
It's always been one of the things with our game, though, that the coach walks down through the crowd to get onto the ground. It's one of those unique, it would be sad to see that go. You know, at the MCG, obviously they don't. They come down underneath and pop up, but Eddie had they run down through the crowd.
Adelaide Oval, they do, don't they? They go down through the crowd.
Yeah,
Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, they do.
In fact, I'd like to advocate bringing back the coach's box like at the Western Oval. Well, you've got to climb a ladder.
Oh, no. On the far side. You had to be in the fire brigade.
Actually have a little cage there like in the Blues Brothers where people are throwing their tinnies. Did you have a coach there, KB?
Yes.
And you had to climb the ladder.
Climb up the ladder.
Did you ever get things thrown at you?
Well, it was a long way up, let me tell you.
Well, I coached out there too. And I went up there once and it took me forever to get up. And then what was there was the most magnificent array of bespoke cakes.
Really?
One has ever seen.
Pastries.
It was fabulous.
Yeah. You never wanted to go back down.
I'm not
going to address them at quarter time. I'm going to eat the cakes.
But it was the old ladies committee type thing, which was fantastic in those days. It was great. But when the later game I played there, we played the nice coach. I thought, I'm not doing that. I sat on the boundary line. It was one of those shocking, wet, windy days. And I thought, what am I doing sitting down here? But it was just, it was too onerous to go that far and to climb up that high just to get that bird's eye view.
Because that was a South Australian coaching thing, wasn't it, to coach on the boundary line?
Well, Jack Adey coached there and he was very successful, so we assumed that was a good place to go.
Because when you coached Norwood to that?
Mostly, yeah.
To premierships and was it the Eagles as well? Was it the Eagles or West Torrens when they joined? What was that club called?
Yeah, yeah. Woodville, West Torrens, Eagles. Yeah.
Eagles? Yeah. Used to coach from the boundary line?
Yeah, mostly. Yeah,
NFL
mostly.
Coaches from the boundary line, don't they? The NFL coaches are on the...
Yes, they are.
And they have their other coaches up in the stands.
I don't know.
Helping.
I never know who's the coaches because there's that many people with headsets on.
Well, he's normally the one that's on screen the most. That's normally the giveaway.
The one who's covering his mouth so you can't Peter, read his lips.
Peter joins us from Baldwin. G'day, Peter.
G'day, boys. Good in theory, DC. You're just short a few aspects. We actually need some...
I thought you covered everything.
No, just one thing you... we actually need security guards for the security guards, just in case the coaches get a bit...
Very good, Pete.
Starts punching the suitcases out of the security guard.
The integrity office has recognised the big risk is that if they have to drive from the MCG to the across the road, there's going to be cases of road rage that they're going to have to look after.
I remember Jumping Jai Tarima telling me one day that he was he's a federal police officer, and at one stage his job was to protect the Prime Minister. He had a gun, Jai, which is a bit distressing.
It's a bit scary.
Anyway, when K Rudd first started up, he would he'd be driving along, you know, in the president in his prime ministerial car, and the security surrounding him, etc. And he'd decide that he'd want a coffee, and he'd just say to the driver, "I'll just pull over here, can you, champ? I just want to get a coffee." So K Rudd would hop out, and of course, the security detailer, you know, in a complete panic. What happens if the coach decides when he's on the bus he wants to get a burrito
coffee
or something, or a pie floater when you're in Adelaide? Or
you can't stop.
Macca's drive-through only.
Not allowed to stop.
Right.
From the ground to the hotel.
Yeah.
You cannot stop.
Do we need a police escort?
I think that's...
Do we need to turn all lights
that's
green?
Overkill. That's an overkill. I think a police escort's an overkill, but you can't get off the bus. It's too dangerous.
We had to do that.
What do you do when you get to the hotel? Do you have to go underground or do you...
Underground
you have to,
car park?
So you can't run the gauntlet for the 20 metres between the bus drop-off and the lobby?
That's the most dangerous distance, that last 20 metres. You go underground.
Clearly.
Steve is in Cranbourne. G'day, Steve.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Steve, we're going great. You want to talk about Travis Cloak?
Yeah, I just want to talk to Barmy about...
Good.
How you going, Barmy? I'm a Collingwood member and I'm very passionate supporter. And just want to ask you something. With the goal-kicking, of course, like Travis Cloak, would you ever consider practising on the MCG during the week to fix the
familiarity?
Because I'm a passionate supporter for him, would that ever work?
I think that would probably marginally help, but I don't reckon they'll let us do it. But that shouldn't be the issue. It really should be just preparing yourself to be ready to go. And unless you get 60,000 people in there, it probably doesn't necessarily help. But in some ways it would. It would be if you're really familiar with... I mean,
you haven't tried that yet, Neil. You haven't tried that yet.
What?
With Travis Cloak, as Steve has suggested, you ring up Stephen Goff and say, listen, Travis is coming over with about 20 football and he's going to have a kick. You haven't tried that yet. Because Nathan Buckley said they've tried everything.
Well, we have tried
then
that.
Straight away,
Steve, why would that make a difference, KB?
No, exactly. But straight away, Steve's come up with an idea they haven't tried at Collingwood.
Well, do you reckon that if we tried every idea that everyone came up with, there'd be any chance that Travis could actually kick a goal?
Yes.
Well,
that's a good one from Steve.
In this rare
instance... If you've got nominations, how you can help Travis, give us a call, 942-9116.
I'll tell you how you can help Travis.
Stop talking
butt
about
out
it.
And let him just get on with
That's
it.
That's not
going
to happen.
It will be okay.
That's not going to happen.
Well, you're disingenuous. You're saying if the people out there want to help
until
Travis...
Until he kicks goals, it won't happen, Neil. It won't happen.
Well, if they don't leave him alone, it won't
You can't
happen.
Hide from the fact that... You can't hide under a rock,
anything.
Neil. Nathan said we've tried everything. Don't send any letters. And Steve straight away rings up with a fantastic idea you haven't tried.
Well, I'll tell you once again. If you those cardboard ears of yours that are covered by those earphones.
I'm a good guy. Don't attack me.
If we do everything that everyone suggests, I guarantee you won't be any good.
This is one of the rare instances where I have something to offer
good.
On a matter that's related to AFL.
Good.
Kicking for goal is exactly the same as the long jump. So at the Olympics, you don't actually go and have to do it at the venue. Barcelona, we didn't go out and have, you know, practice at the venue. Because a long jump run-up is a long jump run-up. Kicking for goal is kicking for goal. The goal posts, excuse me if I'm wrong, the distance between them is exactly the same at every ground, isn't
21
it?
21 feet.
So the routine of doing that is exactly the same as the routine for the long jump. So I'll come down and fix it.
Yeah, but don't forget,
Neil,
there's different stadiums around. There's
makes no difference.
There's different backdrops.
No difference. Zero difference.
Well, they haven't tried it yet at Collingwood. That's
zero difference.
Saying.
Nor should the difference between your first jump in the competition, the last jump, kicking a goal after the siren as opposed to kicking a goal when you're 10 goals up. No difference. It's a closed skill. The only thing you have to consider is the win. It's exactly the same as a long jump.
9-4
occasionally,
nine.
You do a foul, but the idea is you don't do a foul.
I'm going to take
that's what
a risk here and
you
say
kept
thanks,
all
Dave.
The time,
I'm not sure I should do
if
that.
If you kept fouling all the time, what would you do?
You go back to training and you fix it. But you don't have to do that at the MCG. You can do it at Olympic Park, like I used to do at 6 o'clock in the morning, running down KB like this.
This is what Nathan Buckley had to say on Crunch Time regarding Travis Cloke.
Clokey has got to improve his goal kicking, and he's putting a lot of work in. He couldn't put more work in. The systems and processes we've got down there for him, we couldn't do any better. And could the 20 blokes that are going to write me letters this week, just write them, just know that they're going straight in the bin.
Right. Well, you see, he didn't take any advice. I mean, straight away, Steve,
I reckon they've got enough coaches, KB, down there
to take him to the MCG.
To fix it.
They haven't tried at Collingwood.
It's no point taking him to the MCG. He can fix his goal kicking at whatever the park is, Edwin Flack Oval or whatever it's called that Collingwood now train at down there. Because the goals, they don't move. They're exactly the same. Like the long jump board. It doesn't move
position.
So
you're giving up on Travis Clark.
No,
you
absolutely
can't improve.
Hey, Stewie Lowe improved his goal
else?
Kicking.
This is, we should change our name to the Herald Sun Hour or something if we're going to be this tabloid.
Of course he can fix
see,
his
Neil
goal
See, Neil doesn't
kicking.
Like the criticism that Collingwood
well, don't
can't fix the kicking of someone standing 10 metres out from goal.
He's got the yips.
And they're embarrassed by it.
You know who Travis Clark would be best suited talking to? Steve Hooker. Because it was in the same situation. Run up, box,
got the
pole.
Yips.
Nothing changes. Yips. Or Kevin Nah. Get Kevin Nah along.
Is he Lee Nah's brother?
No. Well, because he couldn't swing the club back. So sometimes you get the yips. But it's you can fix these things, KB.
But what, how?
How?
Well, there's ways of doing
by doing what they're doing.
Not necessarily by discussing it.
Correct.
Between 10 and 11 on Friday morning.
Yep.
Not helpful for 1 second.
Travis, if you're listening, turn over to another station now,
we'll,
please.
He'll be just kicking his 10th goal in a row down at Bob Rose Bang. Oval or Edmund Flack. Was
also,
or whatever it is.
Bob well, Rose Oval.
We're taking a break. We'll come back.
No, I don't know.
What is it called?
We're going to fly through our callers. But also today, a new segment has started up on Friday's Sports Chat called The Big Issue.
Big Issue.
And it got kick-started last week when we were talking about merging and the dangers of merging. And then DC said, well, this is my big issue.
Yep.
And this is my segment. So DC's running his own segment called The Big Issue. And do you want to tell people what it is so they
can
actually
give
it some thought?
Give us a call.
Give us some thought so when they come back later on for The Big Issue.
I've discovered this week that you get what you pay for.
Get what you pay
for. So in some instances, you get what you pay for.
Very Keynesian, I'd say.
Mm.
Okay. So give
I want examples of what it is in life where you get what you pay for. And I want to give you a specific example after the break of something that I discovered this week, that you get what you pay for.
Okay. Back after the break, and we'll take your calls.
Big issue,
ladies, gentlemen.
Big issue.
Help
the others.
Do you like to buy a big issue, sir?
Big issue, please.
On Hungry for Sport, find out what's grinding our gears. The Big Issue.
The Big Issue, of course.
We've got our own opener.
Before we go back to our callers, just go through it, and then we'll take calls on The Big Issue.
So we solved the issue of merging. We didn't really solve the issue of merging.
Yes, we did.
We disagreed with you that you speed up and don't let people come in.
No, that's incorrect.
That was last week's big issue. I needed to buy something this week, KB. And I discovered that you get what you pay for. I needed to get rid of some documents. So I needed a shredder.
Shredder.
And so I went to Officeworks.
What kind of documents are these?
Oh, just documents that you might not want anyone else to have, or secret documents, strategies, plans, data, information, etc. So I needed to buy a shredder.
Yep.
So I went to Officeworks, like you do, and
why would you go there?
Well, because it's easy.
Oh no, it's just,
and they've got a big range of products.
Yeah.
No, so it's online,
shredders.
And they deliver by midday, so it's very good if you're a small business.
Yep.
So you know that you can buy a shredder for $5. It's the KG3 sheet personal shredder.
It'd be a very good one.
It comes in various colours, three sheets at a time. There it is. Magnificent. Beautiful
it's a,
thing.
It's a pair of scissors.
Wasn't very good.
You know why it's
say.
Three sheets at a time? That's about all it'll get.
That takes a long time to get through the stuff that we needed to get through.
So you bought that?
No. And it didn't
work.
I trialed it.
It didn't work.
It wasn't really what I was after. So then I went to the Lowell ST85 cross cut shredder. That was $128. That wasn't bad. You can whack through about 10 bits of paper at a time. A 9-sheet, in fact, and it comes with a DVD that shows you how to do it. And it even can do CDs and DVDs, which was very handy because we had some information on that we needed to get rid of.
Good.
120, not bad. But I decided we needed to really get rid of some stuff in a hurry. So we went for the Cobra Cyclone Industrial Shredder. We're going to tweet a picture of this thing because it is actually bigger than the person. $39,995. $39,995, and it is actually bigger than me. You get what you pay for, KB, when it comes to shredders. Okay. So if you've got an example of something that you get what you pay for, this was the big issue for me this week. The chosen one, he suggested blenders.
Blenders,
yes. Get what you pay
when
for.
You
if you want one of those NutriBullet Ninja like things to make your smoothie in the morning, you get what you pay for.
Blenders.
The $30 one doesn't quite work as well as the $300. Coffee machines. But okay. I've discovered this week, KB, that if you really need a shredder, it's worth investing, particularly if you need to get rid of stuff in a hurry. The $39,995 industrial shredder is designed for large quantities of material, up to 420 kilograms per hour.
Magnificent.
That's what you need. You get what you pay for. That's this week's big issue.
9429 1116, the big issue.
You could buy
what do you get? What do you pay for that?
What do you get what you pay? Yeah. Where do you get what you pay for?
You could buy an incinerator.
Yep. This thing does CDs, DVDs, Blu-rays, floppy disks. Does anyone have any of them? It goes through 7,000 floppy disks per hour. Aluminium cans, plastic bottles, maybe vials of substances if you needed to shred them. Probably could do that as well.
Michelle said, what about a box of matches?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to our callers. Ian joins us from Viewbank. Wants to talk about a topic that Neil Baum doesn't want to talk about. So let's speak about it.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Ian.
That's good. I'm not sure shredding's the big issue of the day, but the DC's on fire this morning. just two quick things before I fix Travis Cloak's goal kicking up.
Yep.
DC, I've got a new segment for you, mate. When you spoke about jumping Joy Tarima and what he does for a real job, it was absolutely fascinating. So you can see what athletes actually do for a real job. He's a federal policeman.
Oh, he was. I don't know if he is now. He was. That's why you don't see him very much because he's no, he can't.
Whenever
there's
a
no, correct.
He's whenever
there's a an anniversary of the Sydney Olympics, or he doesn't do much media jumping jai because he's
undercover cop.
He carries a gun. Yeah, one hand and cigarettes in the other.
As I said, that's amazing. I wonder what Melinda Gainsford does for a job. Maybe she works at Macca's or something.
No, she just runs her own little bit. That is an interesting question because we've discovered this week that Kane Corns is retiring to go and be a firefighter.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, fireman. Good on him too.
And your thoughts on Travis?
Yes. I know Buck said that he's going to get 20-odd letters, but Barmy, there's a bloke that's a runner for Collingwood Seconds, has been for 10 years, called Brennan Griffiths, who Phil Cleary rated as the best kick he's ever seen in VFA footy. And he's actually in the Miller's Guide for kicking 18 goals one day for Brunswick. And he's a left footer like Trev. Mm. So go with him.
Well, we should pick him to play.
Well, he's still fit enough. He's still fit enough probably, but he's a massive left footer and he would fix Trev's goal kicking up in about 20 minutes after training every night, mate.
See, this is where Nathan Buckley's wrong, you see. He said they've tried everything. Have you tried Ben Griffiths?
We may have, but I may not be allowed to tell you what we've tried.
You haven't tried Ben Griffiths. You don't even know who Ben Griffiths is.
He was very quick as well.
Who?
Ben Griffiths.
But you know he's at Collingwood?
Yeah, of course.
What's his role there, Neil?
He's the runner for the VFL.
What do you want him to do? Try something different every week until he finds the right solution.
Nathan said they've tried everything,
don't send me any letters. Don't take him seriously. He's just doing this to use up the hour that he's got. There's nothing serious.
Chris is on the road. Chris is out there on the road. G'day, Chris.
Good day, boys. This is very entertaining. I was going to talk about how famous people used to get around, like Malcolm Fraser. I was working at Melbourne Sports Depot on Elizabeth Street many years ago, and Fraser and four of his goons came down and bought stuff. So we followed them back out, and they jumped into an old Ford Escort van, the four of them, five of them, including Fraser.
Well, that's the way it should be. It's un-Australian for our football coaches to have to get a bus from the MCG to the Hilton. It's un-Australian. You want your prime ministers to be getting into a Ford Escort van, don't you? You want Kay Rudd to be able to stop and get out and get a coffee because he wants one. Oh, or if he wants some steamed dim sims and he's in Seymour, you get out and go to the fish and chip shop and say, "G'day, buddy, can I have half a dozen steamed dimmies?"
So you want to jump on the tram in Swanston Street and Tony Abbott sitting on the tram reading his paper?
Why not?
No, I agree with it. I like it. Well done, Chris. Andrew's in Selby. G'day, Andrew.
How are you, boys?
Going well.
And how about DC?
Yeah, DC, I'm doing a big bonfire this weekend, mate, and for a slab of cans, we can chuck them all on there.
All right.
Good thinking.
Isn't that the ultimate shredder?
It takes a long time, and it's hard to do that in secret.
Attention.
It does draw a little bit of attention if you've got a big fire going.
The book burning's got certain...
You know, if it jumped HQ, all of a sudden there was a big fire out in the balcony, you reckon that might not draw the attention of local authorities? You know, if I really needed to get rid of some stuff? That's why you need...
I think if you brought in the two people's size $39,000 shredder, I think they'd be a bit suspicious as well.
Well, if you are on Twitter, you can go to Hungry for Sport or you can go to Colbert Report and you can have a look at the shredder because we've posted the picture of the shredder.
That's a space capsule, that is.
It is a big shredder. It is a big shredder. I hope it doesn't take your arm off.
9429 1116. Can you help DC? Whenever you got what you paid for, got some great prizes to give away to our best ideas and our best callers. And then we're coming back and we're taking more of your calls. 9429 1116. Welcome back. It's 22 minutes to 11, and we've got DC and Barmy. Don't forget, if you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. 9429 1116 0433 98 1116. Mario joins us from Ivanhoe. Knows a fair bit about shredders. G'day, Mario.
Kev, how are you, boys? I'm really surprised that you haven't discussed one of the best model shredders you can get. I've actually been having a look in the yellow pages. You can get the model's called a Dank. What it does, it shred documents, but if you stand too close to it, it'll shred your reputation.
We knew this would be coming.
Okay. We're just waiting for that.
I haven't seen them at Officeworks.
The Dank model.
No.
The Dank model. Guy's in East Ringwood. G'day, Guy.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good, thanks.
After watching Trav the last couple of weeks, sitting there with my little bloke, he's under 14s at East Ringwood, all the great goal kickers of Dunstall and Lockett, when their leg came through, it came through straight at the target. Trav's leg comes at an angle when it hits the ball. And therefore, he's trying to get the ball to go straight when it's coming on an angle. Mm.
Well, Neil, have you...
Couldn't agree more.
Have you noticed that? Have you tried at Collingwood? I know you've tried everything at Collingwood, but have you tried at Collingwood building a brick wall about 6 foot high and Trav, and it's only about 3 foot wide, and then Trav runs in between the two brick walls and therefore he's locked into kicking straight. Without running off.
Funnily enough,
and then his left leg goes alongside that brick wall.
And it scratches the wall if he's
crooked.
Now, someone had sent in a fabulous idea that you learn to kick, you got the rolled up sock, and you're in the narrow hallway at home.
Yes.
And that's the way you learn to kick straight because you've got nothing to work with. And
correct.
That's
what they do in golf.
It's the same. Look, and it's kind of.
Have you tried that at Collingwood?
Not with the rolled up sock and the. But principally, yeah, they're all the things that Travis will be trying. But as I said, it's not that helpful to have the whole public.
It's very
discussion.
Helpful, Neil. We've had three or four fantastic ideas from Collingwood supporters that Nathan Buckley hasn't thought of. That's a great idea.
You are.
Good idea, Mario.
Sometimes.
Have we got prizes?
Or Guy, I should say.
You said you were got prizes.
Well, to the best. I'm going to give.
I've got to write them down. We've only got one prize.
It's a $300 voucher for all over bins. It's a pretty fair prize.
Oh.
Rubbish skip.
Well, that'd be quite useful. That
rubbish
would be.
Bins.
I wonder what happens.
All
with
areas of Melbourne.
I haven't worked out what my $39,000 shredder does once the stuff's shredded.
I got.
Does it disappear, or do I need a bin?
No. You've got to pick your own best shredder, contestant.
Right.
And they've got the Dimitrina restaurant, plus the beautiful legs of Bataki ham, of course, from Woolies and Coles, and also around a golf down at Rosebud Country Club in Boneo Road in Rosebud. It's a fantastic golf course. So that's for you to give away. And then I've got the voucher for $300 from All Over Bins.
Is there any way we can give a prize to people who actually don't ring in about Travis? Is there any way I can do that?
You can give that prize, Neil. Craig's
like
in Altona. G'day, Craig.
Hey, g'day, guys. Just wondering, one thing in footy, I can't understand it. Bloke's lining, taking a mark, lining up for goal, and he's just taken it, and then all of a sudden some idiot sings out, 15 gone, 15 gone. What for? I've never seen anyone being called play on from a set shot.
Well, they get 30 seconds. The umpire's just been very, very kind to the player. I don't think the umpire should be telling the player that, 15 seconds have
gone. What happens at 30 seconds?
Well, the umpire calls play on. That's what he does. He
we
calls
ever
play
seen
on.
That?
We did last year with Tommy Hawkins,
yeah,
I think
well,
it was.
About after about 3 seconds.
Which was the wrong call.
Absolutely.
Because he was in his run-up. But I don't think the umpires should be yelling out to the player, you've only got 15 seconds left to kick the ball.
I agree.
I think you just say, play on. Simple as that. Around the ground, you've got 6 seconds to kick the ball.
Yeah.
They used to warn them once, give them penalties and warnings all the time. But now it's play on. And I think the same thing with having a shot for goal. If the umpire thinks he hasn't started his run-up, within the 30 seconds, you just call play on. Because, let's face it, when a player's picking up the ball, DC and Barmy, the umpire doesn't yell out, you're hot.
Yeah,
you're hot.
I agree.
So
why
yell out, you've got 15 seconds left?
Peter off Twitter has let me know that there is actually a $20,000 version of, it actually looks quite good, that compacts everything into a crate. It spits it out. And
That's what they use when you lop trees.
And it goes into it, yeah. Like that, and it goes into a crate, which I then you store, perhaps, for future reference.
I don't think you can actually read it. That's the whole point
of it. Here it is. We found it. It's in the crate.
Anthony's in Chelsea. G'day, Anthony.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Good, Anthony.
Yeah, I've got something that we don't pay for. I'm a proud Collingwood member and supporter, and we don't get a goal kicker.
Ah, you get what you pay for. Now, Neil,
yeah,
see, he thinks you're paying a lot of money for a goal kicker, but you don't get it.
One.
You're not getting it.
You'll get it. Watch this space. You'll
get it.
Trust me.
He's very confident, Neil, that they've got this covered. So, Anthony, just rest easily because Barmy's very confident. He's all over this, and he's got great confidence that this week against Richmond, is it, Neil?
I'm not talking about any medium
time frame.
Rather
you know what they're going to do? They're going to introduce Peter McKenna as the sub.
He's going to come on and kick for him.
Travis will be kicking straight.
It won't be very far out. Peter's a beautiful kick, but I reckon he would have lost a little bit of his distance.
Travis will kick straight in 2 to 3 weeks, Barmy reckons. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. And also, I want to talk to you. You're our international man when it comes to WADA and ASADA.
Yes.
We want your take on WADA's appeal against the Essendon Football Club.
Very good.
It's 12 minutes to 11, and don't forget, Richo off to the races with value back in fantastic form last week. Dave Loudon joins us, Sport in the Media, and Cam Mooney, of course, with Friday Football Focus to finish off the day. Before we go back to our callers, DC, WADA surprised some people by appealing their decision and, of course, now go to the Court of Arbitration of Sport. What's your take on that?
I think it was a surprise. I was surprised that they have appealed. It's their right to appeal. So, obviously, a lot of people in the AFL fraternity are very upset that it's dragging on and let's get on with the footy and we were sick of it, which we all are, no doubt about that. So I spoke to a few people in the international sports fraternity this week and I can say that there's a very different view to that, that they simply, now this is just a small sample, so it's not everybody, but these are people that work in international sport. And the view is that they simply don't believe that an injection regime of that magnitude has got not one record. They just don't believe that that could possibly be the case. Now, they also then think that means it's suspicious. Now, that's an assumption that may or may not be unfair, but that's the view. They're of the view that either they're covering something up or it's negligence in the extreme, but either way, that the people involved shouldn't have any further involvement in sport. So that's the view. So they're quite thankful that WADA have appealed because they just simply don't believe that you could be doing all of those things and not have any records of it. Interestingly, there's a view whether you can subpoena people and whether the evidence they can enforce, you know, Charters and Alvari and Dank to give evidence. And, you know, you're still reading different views on that. But there's also a suggestion that given that this is de novo, you know, it starts from scratch, it gives Essendon the opportunity to actually present the information that is going to clear the players, because there's a very strong feeling in the international sporting sphere that simply relying on no evidence because the evidence is missing may not be enough in this CAS hearing. That the fact that there's no evidence may not be enough because there's enough smoke to suggest that
comfortable satisfaction.
Hexarellin was given to, you know, Suki Hobson. She said it was hexarellin. Dank said it was hexarellin. The bottle said it was hexarellin, but without a test of that particular substance or the substance being there, that, you know, in many international circumstances, that is enough. So there is a huge risk for Essendon here that the CAS hearing will find, present us the information that clears your players, otherwise they are going to be in big trouble.
So would they take on board, if that's the case, that you've got major figures such as Dank, Alavi and Charters, and they are refusing to cooperate? Would they take that on board, what you're suggesting, therefore, saying, well, look, if they're refusing to cooperate, what are they scared of?
That's the view of some. I haven't interviewed, discussed it with every person in international sport, but that is the view of international sport. Keeping in mind, of course, also that Australia's got a very poor record of pointing the finger at everybody else. So that doesn't help us in this matter when we're in the international sphere. Yep. Our athletes are clean skins and everyone else is a cheat. And, you know, when you look at what happened with Alberto Contador, the Spanish Cycling Federation Tribunal said, oh, no, we believe you. You ate that dodgy beef. And WADA, you know, well, I don't think so, mate. I call bulldust on that. And CAS agreed that, no, I don't. So we're in a completely different sphere now. So I would, one of the views from the international fraternity is, if Essendon are of the view that we don't know what the players took, but we know that it wasn't banned or illegal, then don't rely on the fact that you have to, WADA have to prove that. Prove it yourself, because then this will all go away instantaneously.
So if Essendon
show us what they took.
If Essendon hopes that they've taken nothing that's illegal, but are you suggesting that if Essendon can't show them why they say that, we haven't taken anything illegal, but we haven't got any documentation to show you that may go against them when it gets to CAS.
That's the view of the international fraternity. Now, whether that's the view of the arbiters at CAS, that is a completely different story. And we know that the burden of proof is still there for WADA, you know, just as with ASADA.
But it's comfortable satisfaction.
Comfortable satisfaction. And the bar, as it did with Alberto Contador, because, you know, Lance Armstrong could have said, well, you know, we sat in our little bus and we had the things of EPO and we were all taking them, and Lance said it was EPO and the doctor said it was EPO, so we thought it was EPO, except they don't actually have that substance, so we're not sure that it could have been red cordial that they were all taking. So that's just the view of the international sporting fraternity. It's a very interesting view. They're also raising their eyebrows, I have to say, at the fines that are being handed to football clubs for lack of whereabouts information. Because, you know, in
$5,000 Richmond just got the other day because Dustin Martin's address wasn't the right address.
Well, Josh Ross is just about to finish his 2-year ban for you know, exactly that. And he couldn't. They didn't fine Athletics Australia. They suspended Josh Ross.
Well, I don't know whether they turned up.
We don't know.
Martin, but all it was said the other day, that Richmond got fined $5,000.
How did they know that he was in a different location?
Because their records weren't up to date.
So there's a lot of question marks that are going around. And the international fraternity, if these things take 10 years, they take 10 years. You know, the IWF are still catching cheats with frozen samples from 2005 and 2007. If that's how long it takes, unfortunately, we've just got to sit tight and write it out.
Yeah, I'll ask you this question, just that from a selfish point of view. Why is it the club's problem to advise of a change of address?
Don't
why
know.
Isn't it the players?
Should be the players. Absolutely agree.
And I'm not, again, I've probably opened a tin of worms by saying that. But
I don't understand why, but it should be. You know, for athletics,
it's probably easier to find the club and then the
You know, Jared Bannister got a 2-year ban for whereabouts. He was staying in a hotel. They had the details, but the front desk at the hotel had, you know, he was rooming with Kevin Bartlett, and they just had Kevin Bartlett's name. They turned up there. They couldn't find that Jared Bannister was there, so that was one strike. He got three strikes, and served a 2-year ban. Absolutely,
ridiculous.
Should be
ridiculous. So,
well, in that circumstance, yes. I agree. The reason why these things are there is because athletes could never be found, so you couldn't do out of competition testing because I live at SEN and you were never at SEN ever. But it's a very onerous system.
But there's no compunction on being home. You might be.
Now, you've got to say that you're going to be somewhere at 6 o'clock. Where can they find you at 6 o'clock every day?
I don't think that's not the case because you might not be home at 6 o'clock.
Well, you're saying where you're at. That's what you've got a whereabouts app that says I'm going to be. You know, if you stay over at your girlfriend's place, you put in your whereabouts app and say I've moved. Mm. It's an incredibly onerous system.
Well, that's ridiculous.
We'll take a break. 9429 1116. We're coming back with DC and Bum. Only got a few seconds left. Apologies to all the callers that are hanging on at the moment. Apologies to Mark. Hopefully we can get to you a little bit later in the program.
KB, you love your cycling. The Giro d'Italia. How good are the Australians going? Three Australians in the pink jersey. Simon Gerrans, Michael Matthews, Simon Clark. They're one of the best Australian sporting teams going around. They're not all Australians, I understand that, but Orica Green Edge, they have been on fire.
Yeah, Simon, got 2 weeks to go. Simon Clark thought he'd won the stage and threw his hands in the air.
Yeah, that was slightly unfortunate. But he got
the
pink jersey.
It was a bloke 100 metres up in front of him.
Yeah, that was a little bit disappointing for him. But he got the pink jersey. They look good in pink, our boys. Well done.
Mario, give us a call back. You got the all-over bins. And Chris, give us a call back. You picked up a bunch of great prizes as well. Barmy, good luck.
Thank you.
See you, DC.
Goodbye.
Coming up, Richo.